Hello. Today I thought we could talk about challenging behaviours. Quite often you hear this term used and it isn't always used accurately, I don't think. So I think with a team, it's a good idea to say, what does challenging behaviour mean? And often people think it's behaviours that are dangerous, threatening or aggressive, but actually challenging behaviour is really a behaviour that gets in the way of that student's learning or in the way of the whole group's learning. And it can be something really low-key, such as tapping on a table. It doesn't seem to be that much bother, but if a student is constantly tapping on a table, it really, really begins to grate. Or it could be a student just singing a little song. But if he's singing Thomas the Tank all day long, then that becomes challenging behaviour. So we need to really decide which of these behaviours are truly challenging. Are they really upsetting the other students? If you stop that behaviour, will it be replaced with another behaviour? If you ignore it, will it go away? I think it's these minor, what I would call minor behaviours, can become incredibly irritating and make teaching very, very difficult. I once had a student who just didn't understand that he was in school to learn. And his favourite thing to do was to go and find a radiator and just stand in front of the radiator. Now, he'd do this whether it was boiling hot in the summer or freezing cold in the winter. And he just did not want to come to the circle or join in a table activity. He also didn't like eating very much, which was highly unusual. And so the fact that he just wanted to stand in one little spot, observing the world go by or what the class was doing, was challenging because it was stopping him from being part of the group, participating. He definitely had the ability to understand spoken instructions. He could pick out his own photograph. He knew common symbols. He had fine motor skills. He knew all his colours. So he had lots and lots of skills, but he just didn't see the point of using them. I will talk about the students another time. Otherwise, I'll end up having a whole podcast about him. But yeah, so standing by a radiator doesn't seem that challenging, really, does it? But actually, it is a challenging behaviour if it's happening all day, every day. And, you know, any attempt to move him, then he gets upset and that then disrupts the whole class. So we need to really have a behaviour management plan in place for those kind of behaviours, as well as the things that people do understand to be challenging behaviours. So some behaviours are extremely challenging in that they are dangerous, dangerous to the student or dangerous to the whole class or the adults. And these are the behaviours that really can't be ignored. I'll talk a little bit later about behaviours you can ignore. So the type of behaviour I'm thinking about now is when you can see that a student is becoming more aroused, more irritated, more unsettled, and you know that if you don't act quickly to divert that, that this could become a crisis situation. And I'm thinking of the kind of students that would maybe pick up a chair and throw it, or indeed any hard object and throw it. I'm thinking of students who would physically attack you or other students. Almost worse to deal with is a student who would self-harm. There's nothing more desperately upsetting than watching a student bang their head. Absolutely awful thing to witness. And, you know, a behaviour that really, really needs to be understood and a management worked out to reduce it. So some challenging behaviours are very much more challenging than others. However, the term challenging behaviour really describes a behaviour that stops a student from learning. Now, what we need to do is decide which of those behaviours we can tolerate or ignore. I always remember students from a high school that we used to do a performing arts project with each year. They absolutely loved it. They'd come to our school for a whole week and they would work with one of our key stages. And at the end of the week, we'd put on a performance. The students from the high school probably learned a whole lot more than our students. And many of them did go on to come back to the school and do work experience, came back as TAs. And there are three of those students who are now special needs teachers. So those integrated projects, inclusive projects that we did, just brilliant. And I think I'll do a whole podcast on inclusive projects. But I remember them coming and their little faces when one of my students came in, and he was in a very bad mood because everything was different. So instead of it just being our class in our room, all three classes of the key stage were in the hall, which he definitely, that wasn't something he was used to. And not only that, there was a group of completely strange students sitting in the hall as well. He'd been met by a TA and had been brought down and into the hall. And he came over to me and he was very pleased that I was there. And we said our little good morning and we did our little fist bump, which we always did. And I patted the seat next to me so he would sit down. And then he suddenly stood up and went, "Uck off, uck off, uck off," at the top of his lungs, which was really his way of telling us that things, you know, he wasn't happy. And it was definitely a warning sign for us. So fairly quickly, a TA said, "Come on, come with me." And out he went, and the TA did some work with him one-to-one until he calmed down. "Uck off" was his, "I am angry and I'm not going to stay in this situation." But the reason I'm telling you this story is because the high school students just didn't know what to do. They couldn't believe it. They didn't know whether to laugh, whether to try not to laugh. And I just think it reminded me that as teachers, we definitely have to have that neutral face, that face that says, "I'm not at all bothered that you're swearing." In this case, his swearing was our warning that things were escalating. But there were many, many students who would resort to quite foul language. And the high school students just couldn't believe it. The point I'm trying to make is that this was a challenging behaviour, but there's no way you can stop what's coming out of a student's mouth, so you can't stop them from swearing. If that swearing gives them something that they want, which might be a lot of attention, it might be mean that they can do something else, then they'll carry on doing it. If you ignore the swearing, it has no impact. It very quickly reduces. I had a class once that had come from a primary school, and I think one of them must have had a lot of foul language at home and so came into school with foul language, and the whole class had it. It was just, you know, comical really, but fairly soon into the term, that foul language had decreased massively because we just completely ignored it, didn't comment on it, just completely ignored it, and it loses its power if it's ignored. So I think there are challenging behaviours that can be ignored and they will go away. And then there are the same challenging behaviour that actually is a warning sign, so you can't ignore it. So you have to know your students really well. You have to know... you have to understand that you can't treat all students the same. So whereas one student you can ignore the swearing, another, then it's not advisable to ignore. And the same goes for really, I almost don't want to talk about it, but I've known many students that use smearing feces as a behaviour often and frequently. And it's quite a disturbing behaviour. It's horrible for other people to experience. And it's one that you can't really ignore because of the, you know, because of the hygiene and the student's dignity and all of those things. So we had a lot of discussion about how best to go about working with this challenging behaviour. And again, it came down to having a neutral face, having a TA that was able to quickly, without comment, clear up the mess, and then just carry on. Because in all the cases, I think the students were hoping that it would cause chaos, and the chaos was what they wanted. So acting in a very calm, non-judgmental, neutral way was the way we dealt with that. What I don't want to do today is talk about all these different behaviours and how to manage them. What I do think is really important is to have very good knowledge of the students, very good knowledge of your TA's strengths. Some people are brilliant at doing the neutral face, clearing up. Some TAs are wonderful at spotting a behaviour before it escalates and diverting it. Some TAs are fabulous at de-escalating situations. Some TAs are absolutely brilliant to have in a moment of crisis where they are able, with just one nod or one look, to help you use Team Teach to remove the student to a safer area. And there are TAs who will just immediately gather the rest of the class up and move them out of the way. So when you're making a behaviour management plan, although it is about the child and how to manage that behaviour, you also need to know the strengths of your TAs so that when the behaviour becomes challenging, you've got your behaviour management plan and everybody knows their role in it. Of course, many of these challenging behaviours happen when it's just you in the classroom, And then you just have to manage it the best you can. And if that means leaving the challenging student in the classroom and removing all the others and then getting help, so be it. But I often think they know exactly the moments to strike. So if you are a teacher, your responsibility has to be to the whole group. And you need to have in your own mind a clear plan for if there's a crisis and you're on your own. A lot of schools these days have an emergency button that they can press. And if you're very lucky, there'll be a behaviour lead that will respond, or maybe one of the senior management team who are usually very well versed in helping challenging behaviours. But some schools don't have those. And so you need to know, what are you going to do if you're faced with a challenging behaviour and you're on your own? So good idea to have that in a plan. A thing that always grated with me was, as a woman with a fairly small frame, it was very obvious to me that when students were being exceedingly violent and aggressive, that if a large, tall man walked in the room, the impact was massive. The man didn't have to do anything, he just walked in the room. And I used to find that incredibly annoying. But if that student knows that if you are very clear about what your expectations are, what that student's choices are, and what the consequences will be, your size really doesn't matter anymore. It's them knowing that you're the adult, that you are in charge, that you will be calm, and that this behaviour will end. And I was talking about this effect that men have, which can be incredibly frustrating. And very wise, a very experienced teacher said to me, look, you need to be strong in your gentleness and gentle in your strength. And I thought, wow, that was really profound. So I always had to be gentle in my strength, strong in my gentleness. I wasn't strong enough to be that force. So if I was faced with a challenging student, I had to hope that my strength was my gentleness and my calmness, and that that would see us through to a good conclusion. So I leave you to that little saying. I don't have a funny story. Or maybe I do. The other thing is seeing humour, I think. The very first week I had a year seven class, and we'd had a good morning. I felt things were going well. So that morning I decided I would take a break. And I left the class with three TAs and went for a very short comfort break. And when I came back, two of the students had got naked and were dancing on the table together. They were great friends. This had been their party trick at junior school. And I just didn't know what to do. I just burst out laughing, which was entirely inappropriate. However, it stopped the students in their tracks. We did persuade them that if they wanted to go for their snack, they had to get off the table and get dressed. And you know what? That worked. So I was pretty pleased with that outcome. You just have to not be faced by anything that goes on. And then you need to address, how on earth did they manage to do this? And let's make sure it doesn't happen again in the future. Anyway, with that little story of nakedness, I'm going to finish today's podcast. I hope you're well, and I look forward to our next podcast. I'm going to have a guest, which will be great. Take care.